From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Today is Transgender Day of Visibility. It comes after an onslaught of anti-trans legislation around the country, including in Alaska, where a bill that would ban transgender girls from female sports is making its way through the legislature. One Juneau resident is choosing to be visible in her transition. She's writing a column about it for the Juneau Empire. Jane Hale is not afraid to be in the spotlight.
Yeah, but like I said, I'm a ham, too. I like having an audience.
Hale came out as trans at the age of 69 last month, in a rather bold way, writing a newspaper column.
I mean, it sounds cliched, but I feel like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders. I've been hiding this for so many years.
And since then, she's taken on a public-facing role as a trans person in Juneau. Transgender Day of Visibility is a day of awareness. The idea is to celebrate trans identity and the resilience of trans people. While the representation of trans identity has increased, so has hateful rhetoric. This means that for many, coming out isn't just about themselves. It's to build and strengthen the trans community.
And I wanted to be public about it. I wanted to be an activist. Take an activist position. I'm going to do this. Let me help other people who are doing this, too. Let me be a part of this. We have a nice trans community here in town, and some of us are open, some of us aren't, and I just wanted to do that.
And for Hale, it's been worth it to see the community's reaction.
It is rewarding. You know, a friend, an acquaintance, came up to me at the pool the other morning and just, you know, thanked me, and it was so much and for the columns, and it was so heartfelt and warm, and I was almost in tears, I'll tell you. It was really wonderful. And that's happening again and again, and that's the reward. That's the payoff, right?
The column starts with an Arabic story that was told to her by a professor. It's about a river trying to reach the other side of a desert. I asked her to read it aloud.
It's a parable about our individual insufficiency, a story about allowing others to help us. Whatever you have to do, you don't have to do it alone. You can rely on others for aid and comfort. For me, the story has become a transgender parable, a story about dying as oneself to become another, giving up the identity the culture has saddled you with, and discovering a self that feels more authentic and true.
And she writes, "The courage to live authentically is meaningless without the courage to do it with and for others." Hale says trans visibility in Juneau is a work in progress. But so far, she's found support. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Municipalities across the state have dropped pandemic restrictions, but a lot of people are still getting COVID-19. KTOO's Claire Strempel checked in with the state's chief medical officer, Dr. Ann Zink, to talk about this moment of living with COVID, while many are ready to move on.
So I myself got COVID last week, and you maybe can hear some lingering congestion in my voice. And it was a strange moment after spending 2 years working to avoid getting sick, to get COVID while I'm hearing about kind of a post-pandemic world. And I wasn't alone. A lot of people I know here in Juneau are also getting sick lately. How is public health thinking about this moment? And how about your colleagues who work in clinical settings?
Yeah, I think it's continued to change throughout the pandemic. You know, we really have very different tools in 2022 than we did in 2020. It's never fun to be sick. And so I'm sorry that you got sick. And it can be, I think, particularly, and sometimes for many, frightening after, as you mentioned, avoiding it for many years because we don't know the long-term implications of the disease. We're learning a lot, and we know a lot more now than we did beforehand. There's also no shame in getting COVID. It's a highly, highly contagious virus that just moves quickly from person to person. So I think we need to make sure that we recognize that as well. It's just a virus, and it's just contagious, and people are going to get it overall. I'm not surprised that many vaccinated people are getting COVID-19 right now, as it is so transmissible. But what's great is to see some of our lowest hospitalization rates during the whole pandemic is what we're seeing right now. And we're just not seeing the same rate of people getting really sick, needing to go to the emergency department, being hospitalized, and dying from this disease. It's still happening. Still admit people all the time in the emergency department, but nothing like we saw, particularly during the Delta wave. We got hit so hard in the state by the Delta wave. And then what we saw, particularly in other states and other countries early on.
Yeah, speaking of kind of the metrics that we're looking at, we relied on case counts for a long time to understand what was happening with the pandemic in our communities. Some people check them every day, like the weather. Hospital numbers are a really important indicator now, as you mentioned. What's the state's plan for tracking cases and tracking the virus going forward?
So we've always known from the beginning that we have not identified every case. We identified a lot of cases, particularly at the beginning, but we have never identified all the cases. There was asymptomatic spread. There are people who did not want to get tested. And now we probably have an even higher likelihood that we're not seeing all the case numbers because people are doing home testing. Home testing isn't reported. They may be testing in different avenues, and we see a real change in that landscape. So we just recognize we're not able to see all of the cases. The same is true with influenza and with other diseases where they have really gone to a surveillance reporting. So looking at the overall state and getting a sampling to have a good sense of what's happening with that disease progression. And then we use those numbers in combination with other things, like you mentioned, hospitalization data, what we call syndromic surveillance data, how many people are showing up to the emergency department and being diagnosed with COVID, being diagnosed with influenza, or showing up with symptoms that look similar to that. So we want to make sure that we're taking all of those things into consideration.
And so in Juneau, some people are calling this moment a wave of cases, a noticeable number of people are getting sick. And I'm wondering if you're seeing that in other parts of the state, or if the Juneau wave is showing up in data at all.
I think the Juneau wave is definitely showing up in the media, and it is showing up a little bit in the data. But we've had other waves like this in other parts of the state. But, you know, this is a time when a lot of people's eyes are on Juneau, given the legislative session. So I think there's a little bit of extra attention and focus in that region right now. But we've seen this since the beginning of the pandemic, where particularly with Delta and then Omicron, it just moves so fast that it will kind of sweep through a town or a region very, very quickly just because it's so transmissible. And then it moves to another region and moves to there. I've often described it kind of like popcorn in our state. And so one kind of region explodes with cases and then another one explodes with cases. But what we're looking at in the state is kind of that sound overall. And then when it settles down, you can hear the individual pops a little bit easier. And so we've kind of settled down. And so you're hearing that Juneau pop, I think, a little bit more than you're hearing the pops across other places.
Is there anything else you'd like to add? Maybe anything I didn't ask you that you'd like to share or think is important?
Yeah, no, thanks for asking that. I think a lot of people ask, like, well, what should I do at this point in the pandemic? And I think that the basics still apply. The biggest thing you can do is take care of your physical and mental health. It will make you more prepared to take on this virus or other things. So get outside, enjoy the sun, play, eat well. You know, the best source of vitamin D that we get is actually salmon in the state. That's where the majority of us get it. So eating a balanced diet is incredibly important. Two, making sure that you have a degree of protection. And the best way you can do that is getting vaccinated and staying up to date. And then, you know, knowing that we've got treatments available, knowing that we have different resources, your masks work. Treatments make a huge difference. Make sure that if you are going to be going to someplace high risk and you're at risk, wearing a mask, using testing, and if you test positive, consider treatment. So the same tools apply. We just need to continue to use them and continue to build our overall health and well-being.
Dr. Zink, thank you so much.
That was KTOO's Claire Strumpel talking to Alaska's Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Ann Zink. There's financial assistance available to Alaska homeowners impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, but the April 4th deadline to apply is coming up soon. The Alaska House Finance Corporation, AHFC, plans to distribute $50 million to Alaska homeowners to help with mortgage payments, repaying past due property taxes, utility payments, or other household expenses. The funds come from the American Rescue Plan Act passed last year by Congress. AHFC spokesperson Stacey Barnes says the assistance is limited to homeowners who live in the state.
So you can't be the kind of person who, you know, spends your summers or spends significant time outside of Alaska, but just returns to Alaska for a short bit. You have to be owner-occupied of that property. You also have to qualify based on your income.
That income qualification is being at or below 150% of the area median income, with priority given to households at or below 100% of the AMI. That can vary widely depending on location. AHFC says the program has already received more than 8,000 applicants. More than 1,000 are in Southeast Alaska. The program is similar to one run last year by AHFC, which distributed more than $250 million in rental and utility assistance to tens of thousands of Alaskan tenants. Homeowner applications are due by the end of the day, Monday, April 4th. Homeowners can check their eligibility or find more information at alaskahousingrelief.org. This is All Things Considered on KTOO.